Amen. Thank you, Derek, and the rest of the band. Unshakable. I just love that word. And we're in part six of this series. We're in the second part of when your beliefs are belittled. And if you didn't hear the first part or you missed any of these, I wanted to remind you again that you can get it on. If you got a smartphone, there's a free app called Stitcher. You can get it on there. We usually have it on there by Monday, or you can go to iTunes and get it, or we can get a free CD out here the next week. But I would really love if the parents of any kids that started college, if you'd make sure that they would get these. Now, the last 2 weeks anyway. But this is not just for college-age students. This is for any age, for the marketplace, for work, for your neighborhood, your community, or whatever. It's good. But it's when your beliefs are belittled, and it's how to excel in your education, you know, and not lose your faith. And we started last week, and we talked about three of the six. And the very first thing we said was, you got to decide in advance to stand for God. When your feet hit the floor in the morning, I'm telling you, you're going to be tested. You're going to be tested throughout the day. And you got to decide before then, I'm not going to participate in that. Or I'm going to stand for God in this. I'm not going to do this. So you have to choose to not be, as Daniel put, to defile your body. And the second thing is you never stop learning. You know, if we want to excel in our education, we got to never stop learning. Guys, the moment we stop learning, we stop leading. And leaders are always learning. And the third thing we said, we got to steep myself in God's word. Do y'all remember the definition of that word steep? Like a tea bag? You know, we got to steep myself in God's word. That means take it slow. And I ask you to do it in the morning. And to steep that you take a tea bag and you put it in the water, and whatever in that tea bag, as you slowly steep it and dip, remember that? It comes out. So if you steep yourself in God's word, it slowly comes out and turns your character into a godly character. Amen?
Amen.
If you want to excel in your education, in your workplace, and not lose your faith. All right. Well, let's jump to number four real quick if you got your pens. Choose believers as my best friend. If I want to excel in my education and not lose my faith, I have to choose believers as my best friends. The reason Daniel, let's go up here first, Daniel 1, 18 through 20. It says, when the three-year training was completed, the chief official brought all the young men to King Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with each of them, and none impressed him as much as Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they were appointed to his regular staff as advisors. In all matters requiring wisdom and balanced judgment, the king found the advice of these young men to be 10 times better than that of all the magicians and enchanters in his entire kingdom. Now, the reason why Daniel made it through this 3-year indoctrination process is because he's not alone. He wasn't by himself. He's got his three best friends who help him. They got a small group. 4 people. That's big enough. They got a small group, and they chose believers as their best friend. Now, I want to tell you something. Before you start arguing with me, and before you just kind of shut me out, God wants you and me to have friends that are non-believers too. He wants us to have that, because I'm not saying don't have any unbelievers as friends. You should have unbelievers as friends, because God wants us to love everybody. God wants us to be kind to everybody. God wants us to be able to help everybody, and he wants us to be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ to everybody. And if you don't have any non-Christians as friends, Who are you going to share the good news with? Who are you going to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with? So God wants us to have non-believers as friends. But remember I said your best friends. Your best friends are the ones that you hang out with the most. Your best friends are who you spend time with the most. And your best friends should be strong, strong believers. You know why? Because it's real easy to get pulled down. Real easy to get pulled down than to be pulled up. And it's always easier for folks to get you down to their level. And so you want to make sure the people that you hang out with, that you spend the most time with, are pulling you up. You want to make sure that the people that you're spending the majority of your time are building you up instead of tearing you down. Amen? Because it's easy to get tore down. It's easy. You know, so I want you to choose. Guys, I'm telling you this because I love you. And I'm telling you this because not only I've learned it in Scripture, I'm telling you this because I've experienced it. Amen? Experience is a good teacher. Most time it's a painful teacher. You want to choose believers as your best friends. So a question I want to ask you today, and I really want you to think, even write it down. How do you want to be? How do you want to be different in 10 years from October 16, 2016? How do you want to be different? What kind of man or what kind of woman do you want to be 10 years today? Without even knowing you. Without even knowing you, I can predict the person that you're going to be in 10 years if you'll just tell me two things. First, if you tell me who you're hanging out with, who you're spending most of your time with. Secondly, what are you reading? Who you're hanging out with, what are you reading? I can tell you the kind of person you're going to be in 10 years if you continue to do that. Well, whatever it is. You just tell me what you're, because those two things, you can put this in your pipe and smoke it. Those two things right there will determine your future. I got one amen out of that, and I should have got 300. The people you hang out with and what you put in your mind will determine your future. Amen? I'm telling you guys, it's going to do it. It's going to determine your future. We worry about food pollution. We worry about water pollution and air pollution. We don't say much about mind pollution. And we just steadily stick garbage in it. And I think about me too, you know. I think about the garbage that I've allowed in my mind. But the books you read and the friends you choose are going to determine your future and where you go. Choose your best friends to be strong believers. 1 Corinthians 15:33, I finally got to it. It says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Amen? I didn't say that. God's word said that. Bad company corrupts good character. I think we could all give a testimony to that, couldn't we? Every one of us could testify. Every one of us have been pulled in the wrong direction one time or another, you know, by friends that were foolish. Amen? Every one of us. Some of you that's just now starting school, college, high school, whatever, jobs, military. I want to ask you a question. We want to answer it today. And I want you to do something proactive about it. The question is this: how do you intend to select your friends? I want to know something. How do you intend to select your friends? Because the typical answer that I get, well, I'll just go on campus or I'll go in and you know, we'll start talking and we'll probably become friends. You're an idiot, I want to say. You know, because your friendships are far too important to let them just be by chance. Y'all see what I'm talking about? They're far too important just to leave them to chance. No way. You need to be intentional about your friends. I would even say this word. You need to be strategic about your friends. You need to be wise about your friends. You need to have lots of wisdom about the friends that you're going to hang out with, work with. Amen? You need to put some thought in this. You should decide in advance the kind of friends that you want. And if you're away at college, I want to tell you, I'll get some folks to help me. Whatever college you're at, we'll help you find a church. We'll help you find a church to get into and to help you choose these friends. And if you're in high school, college, whatever, find a teacher at school. There's hundreds of thousands of them that are Christians. Find one and they'll encourage you. There's hundreds of thousands of Christian teachers in public education. And they'll support you. They'll encourage you. Because let me tell you something, they love the next generation. They pray for a future of our generation, and they'll provide a lot of encouragement to you. Or you know what? Young folks, go form. If you can't find a group, go form one. Go start one. There's some young ladies right up here that, of course, I think they've taken off for the summer, but they might be back. I don't know. I'm not supposed to know everything. That's good because I don't. But these young ladies said, you know what? We don't have any groups for our age. So you know what they did? They started one. They just started one. So don't come to me and say, you know, where can I join? Where can I join? Y'all don't have nothing for me. If we ain't got nothing for you, start something. My goodness, I get off the baby milk. You know, you got to do something yourself. You know, become part of this I will generation. And so go form a group or join one. Wherever it's at. Here, college, you're in the military, you know where. It don't have to be some formal club. It might be you're just at work and you're saying, "Hey, you know what? At lunch day we're going to meet. We're just going to talk about this verse." You know, if you want to join, we'd like to have you. And pretty soon you got a group of besties. Amen. That are strong believers that support each other. Guys, bottom line, choose your friends wisely. The Bible also says there's some people we need to avoid. Or if you're from where I'm from, you need to stay away from. Proverbs 14:7 says this, "Stay away from fools. You won't learn a thing." If you hang around fools, you're not going to excel in your education. Amen? If you hang around fools, you're not going to be promoted. If you hang around fools, you're going to become a fool. And so how do you know how do you know a foolish friend? Well, I can tell you, but I'd rather you learn it on your own. And I'm going to tell you how to do that. Today's the 16th, right? Read the book of Proverbs. You want to be able to tell what a fool is? Read the book of Proverbs. And there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. So today, start with the book of chapter 16. Start with chapter 16. Read the 16th on the 16th, 17th on the 17th. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? I got to go through all 31. And then when it gets around to the first, go to the first chapter. But you begin that according to the day of the month. Then here's what I want you to do. This is what is homework. Make two columns. Just write down two columns. Because the book of Proverbs is going to give you characteristics of a wise person. And it's also going to give you characteristics of a fool. And it tells you which one does. And then my prayer is that you can choose the correct column to select your friends from. Amen? Just do that. You can choose the correct column of people who you want to hang out with the most. But read a proverb today. Choose your friends wisely. Wisely. And I'm going to give you parents something free. Just parents of kids in college. The Bible says don't waste no money on a student who doesn't want to learn. Let me tell you where it says that at. Proverbs 17:16. I think I got it marked. If you don't, I'll just read that right here. It says, "Why should a fool have money in his hand to buy wisdom when he ain't got no sense?" That's what it says. That's what it says. You know, let me tell you something about college. College ain't no place to grow up in. And you need to wait until they have a heart for learning and a heart for wisdom, and that they want to learn, or you're just wasting your money. And when they do have that heart, then pay for their education, tuition, whatever. But don't waste money on someone that's not intended on growing and learning. It could actually make things worse. It could just actually make things worse. And if you're not going to college to learn, there's only two other reasons. That's sex and alcohol. Am I right? That's the only two reasons if you're not going there to learn. Parents, are you going to pay for that? Ecclesiastes 10:3 says, fools show their stupidity by the way they live. It's easy to see that they have no sense. How do you spot a fool? By the way they live. It's easy. But in contrast, let's look at Psalm. I love this. The happiest people, the ones God blesses, don't walk with those who suggest doing wrong. Don't stand with those who like sin. And don't sit around with cynics who deny God. I want you to notice this. How do I be happy? You get trapped by foolish or bad friends. The very first thing is into this trap is you begin to walk with them. Begin to walk with them. And then it says, it turns to standing with them. Now you're hanging out with them. Then it goes even further. It says, you go from hanging out with them to sitting around with them. Now you just participate. You've gone from hanging out with them to just participating in whatever they're doing. Be careful. Be careful walking with them. Number five, how to excel. I know I've probably just X'd out a whole bunch of your friends. But you know what? That's all right. You ain't got to have that many. You ain't got to have a collection of them. I invited all 3,000 of my electronic friends this morning on Facebook here to church this morning. 10% showed up so far. Five, stay connected to a church, small group, and ministry. Notice I said and. Stay connected to a small group. Stay connected to a church. Stay connected to a ministry. All three are essential for input, output, and support. Because your faith, remember, your faith's going to be tested. Not a matter of if, but it's going to be tested, and you're going to need your church family for support. Hebrews 10:25, I think it's on the backside. It says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. Don't give up meeting. Don't stop doing what gave you the spiritual, to make you spiritually strong. Don't give up meeting. Don't stop going to church. Don't stop the small group. Don't stop being involved in ministry. And that's hard, because today you can listen to a sermon online or on TV and still be in your pajamas and still be there. You can listen to it going down the road. It's easy to listen to a message. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a whole lot of things that happen when we gather. There's a whole lot of things that happen when we have this gathering, this fellowship. And I'm going to do a series on that one day. There's so much that happens when we rub elbows with one another, when we shake hands, when we hug one another, when we smile at one another. There's lots of things that happen. So don't give up this habit of meeting together. You know, you ought to be at church. I used to wonder what they was talking about, those old ladies, when I'd be on the porch. When I was growing up, they say, church every time the doors is open. Now I know what they're talking about. I don't want to miss a blessing. I don't want to miss nothing. Every time the church doors is open, I want to be there. And because something might happen. Something might happen. I think back on times I thought, man, what if I'd have missed today? What if I'd have missed today? What if I hadn't been here? I'd have missed out on that. But I was here, and I got to see it. So if that door's open, I want to be there. If that door's open, you ought to be here. I'm telling you, it's a good life. It's a good life. But you also need a small group. Like I said, I'm not talking about a formal thing, but I'm talking about a weekly thing. Of folks that you get together with, and because it's kind of like that old picture that we paint about the fire. When you take a coal out of a fire and set it over here by itself, it gets cold and it becomes dead. And you set that, and if you leave your small group or you're not meeting with a small group, you're like that coal that's taken out of a fire and put over here by itself, cold as a cucumber. But I got good news for you. If you haven't been meeting and you're that coal over there, because I'm telling you, Sunday ain't enough. Too much devilish stuff going on during the week if you think Sunday's enough. And you're going to be out there by yourself. But the good news is this, we can put you back in that small group. You can come back and that cold can become warm again. Amen? Amen. Sunday ain't enough, guys. You may say, well, I just ain't getting fed. This ain't the only place you need to be eating. Sunday morning ain't the only place that you need to be eating. And ministry, guys, you need to be doing something. You need to be doing something, serving the Lord and serving the community, because that's where you're going to develop your spiritual muscles. 1 Peter 2:15 says, it is God's will that you live such a good life that it silences those who foolishly condemn the gospel without knowing what it can do for them. The best antidote for a critic is to live a good life. The best antidote, you don't have to engage and defend it all, because some people are just angry and they want to be angry. They don't want to be changed. What I found out is they're just hurt and they're acting out of emotion, and all the logic in the world ain't going to change them. They just mad and want to be mad. And you can be sensible, you can be logical, and it's not going to change them. But you live such a good life. Live such a good life that it changes those who condemned the gospel. Guys, let me tell you something. We got a God that is for us. And there is nothing that can stand against us. Nothing. You're going to have your faith tested. I'm going to tell you something just out of experience, too. It can get scary. I've told y'all before how our faith was tested in the early beginnings of North Point, and it still gets tested sometimes. And it's scary. So we're going to have courage. And courage is not the absence of fear. It's doing the right things while you're scared to death. And that's courage. Daniel and his three friends have courage. You know, if you ain't scared, you don't need courage. And things are going to get scary. They're going to get scary at college. They're going to get scary at work. They're going to get scary at the golf course. They're going to get scary at school. And you're going to need courage. You're going to need courage. And I tell you, what else? It makes me mad sometimes, especially you students. Don't be fooled by attacks that say Christianity is not intellectual. That's nonsense. That's so nonsense. I mean, it really is. Did you guys know that most of the scientists up until about 150 years ago were Christians? Galileo, you know, Da Vinci, all of Newton. They were men and women of God. And they were studying God's creation. Only recently, in the last 100, 150 years, some of the scientists have become non-Christian. You know, I was telling Paxton about a guy in between services. I tell him about Voltaire. Y'all ever heard of Voltaire? He was a famous skeptic. He was agnostic or atheist. And Voltaire made this famous statement. Voltaire died in 1778. His statement, he said, was this: 100 years from now, the Bible will be a buried book. end quote. That was 1778. It's still the number one selling book in the world. The Bible still today is the best-selling book of all time. Now, here's the ironic part, even the funny part, if I wanted to gloat as a Christian. His home, Voltaire's home, you know what it became after he died? The headquarters for the French Bible Society. Did y'all know that? That's crazy, ain't it? And that's when I know that God's got a sense of humor. I'm thinking, I know you love me now. I know it's okay if I want to cut up a little, because you just cut up all over that. And like Paxton said, get you some of that. Number six, remember that God will reward me. Remember that God will reward me. How to excel in your education and faith? Remember that God will. God promises over and over and over that every time that you're criticized for him, you will be rewarded. Jesus says, every time that you're belittled for me, you will be rewarded for your faith. Every time you're shunned, you will be rewarded for your faith. Every time you're made fun of, you will be rewarded for your faith. Every time that you stand for biblical truth, you will be rewarded. Jesus said it like this in Matthew. Jesus said, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. That puts you and me in the same category as Daniel. That puts you and me in the same category as Jeremiah, as Moses, and all these others. That's some pretty good company, wouldn't you say that? Puts you and me there. He says, just trust me, because you're going to be tested. There is something that's going to happen. This will be in the future. I want to read Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Just write that down. You can go back to it. Guys eat popcorn. Y'all know what guys eat popcorn is? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Corinthians. That's how I remember where Philippians is at. Colossians. What did I say? Corinthians, one or two. I'm just cutting up a little. God, you did it. I can do it. Amen. Philippians 2, 9 through 11 says, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That is going to happen. That is the future for everyone. That is a future for everyone. I'm going to tell you what, the name of Jesus changes things. Me and Patrick are talking about, you can just be talking to someone and just say Jesus and they freeze up. I mean, they do. Just say Jesus and everything changes. You can say Jesus and your mood changes. The name of Jesus is mighty power. But I want you to imagine this scene. We're at the end of history, and everyone who has ever lived is going to be kneeling before Jesus Christ. Everyone, they're going to be kneeling, and everyone will be saying, Jesus is Lord. Amen. Now, some of them are going to be saying Jesus is Lord in praise because they've lived it all their life. And some of the folks are going to be saying it in regret because they've denied him while they were living. That's the way it's going to be. All your professors that's belittled you, they're going to be there. They're going to be kneeling. And they're going to be saying, Jesus is Lord. It'll probably be too late, but they're going to be saying it. They're going to be kneeling him. On that day, all the rock stars, all the athletes, all the politicians, all the celebrities, everyone will kneel before the King of Kings. And everyone will say, Jesus is Lord. Every atheist will say it at that moment. Everyone will say it. I'm going to tell you something. In the end, God wins. You're on a good side. History is his story. His story. You don't need approval of other people. God made you. Jesus died for you. And the Holy Spirit dwells inside you. It's His story. It's His story. Every knee will bow. But you have to choose this day who you will serve. You choose this day who you will serve. When your faith is belittled, you trust Him. You trust Him. It will be belittled. It will be tested. But great is your reward. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the tests that are coming, because great is our reward. And greater is He that is in us than He is of the world. Lord, we love you so much. We love you so much. We love your word. And I pray for the folks today that's going to be choosing new friends, choosing new best friends that'll support them, that'll encourage them, that won't tear them down. I pray for the small groups that are going to be forming from right here. Lord, they're going to be eating supper at Chick-fil-A and Burger King and everywhere else. Lunch, we're going to meet, and they're going to be sharing with each other's lives. They're going to take a verse. They're going to talk about it, because your word is alive. And I thank you, Lord, that one man said that this book will be buried, and now more than ever they'll be selling more and more. And I praise you, because you made his home a Bible society. And I pray that you make our bodies a dwelling place for your Holy Spirit. Lord, we love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.